And Mary's going to bring our Bible reading this morning, and then Lisa is going to be bringing God's word to us and unpacking that.
Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 42, 43. Is that better? Thank you. Jesus went back across to the other side of the lake, and there at the lakeside, a large crowd gathered round him. Jairus, an official of the local synagogue, arrived, and when he saw Jesus, he threw himself down at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is very ill. Please come and place your hands over her, that she will get well and live." Then Jesus started off with him, and so many people were going along with Jesus that they were crowding him from every side. There was a woman who had suffered terribly from severe bleeding for 12 years. Even though she had been treated by many doctors, she had spent all her money, but instead of getting better, she got worse all the time. She had heard about Jesus, so she came in the crowd behind him, saying to herself, "If I just touch his clothes, I will get well." She touched his cloak, and her bleeding stopped at once, and she had her feeling inside herself that she was healed of her trouble. At once, Jesus knew that the power had gone out of him, so he turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples answered, "You see how many people are crowding you. Why do you ask who touched you?" But Jesus kept looking round to see who had done it. The woman realized what had happened to her, so she came trembling with fear, knelt at his feet, and told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your trouble." While Jesus was saying this, some messengers came from Jairus' house and told him, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" Jesus paid no attention to what they said, but told him, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Then he did not let anyone else go on with him except Peter and James and his brother John. They arrived at Jairus' house, where Jesus saw the confusion and heard the loud crying and wailing. He went in and said to them, "Why all this confusion? Why are you crying? The child is not dead. She is only sleeping." They laughed at him. So he put them all out, took the child's father and mother and his three disciples, and went into the room where the child was lying. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kuma," which means, "Little girl, I tell you to get up." She got up at once and started walking around. She was 12 years old when this happened, and they were completely amazed. But Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone, and he said, "Give her something to eat." Amen.
Thanks, Mary. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for the power in your word. Thank you for all that we've just heard of those encounters with the woman and with Jairus' daughter. And Lord, we pray by your Spirit that you will speak clearly to us today. Lord, encourage us and inspire us and challenge us in our faith in you. Help us to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you know, we're working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and we've reached chapter 5. And I'm sure many of you have read chapter 5 over this past week. Now, it's great when you're working through a book of the Bible, especially when you're preaching, because it makes you look deeper at texts that ordinarily you might not choose to preach on. At first glance, chapter 5 contains three stories which reveal the transforming power of Jesus as he impacts the lives of three people in very different ways. These stories are all very dramatic, and they all have a happy ending. And if we were just reading them, it would be easy to say, wow, that was incredible, and then move on to see what happened next. But if we stop and pause for a moment and begin to reflect further on what took place, well, this chapter, for me, is one of those sections of the Bible which raises a lot of questions. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just extra inquisitive. But the more I looked at this passage, the more questions I had. Thinking about the woman who was healed. Now, it seemed really strange to me that she just reached out to touch Jesus' cloak. How did that work? She didn't even ask him to heal her. And yet, we heard she was made better as soon as she touched him. It almost feels a little bit superstitious the way she went about her healing, like she saw Jesus as some kind of magical person. And her actions don't really sit right with how we would do things today. And then I started thinking, why did Jesus choose to embarrass her, to call her out in the way he did, asking her to publicly admit to what she'd done? That doesn't seem to go along with the compassionate Jesus, the Jesus who encourages people and builds people up in front of others. Moreover, that very act of stopping to find out who touched him ended up delaying his journey to Jairus' house. And that delay meant that the little girl had died before he reached her. So why was it so important for him to stop and cause that delay? And then, of course, there's that amazing event at the end where Jairus' daughter is brought back to life. Now, that's something very different to healing someone. That's another league, isn't it? But why was this child raised when many other people must have been dying? And how does that impact us today? Is it just me who gets these questions going through their mind? Or do any of these questions resonate with you as well? And perhaps if we weren't working our way through the Gospel of Mark, in fact, there's no perhaps about it, I probably would never choose to preach on this passage because of these questions. But, you know, I don't think it's wrong to ask questions. I believe God wants to engage with us through this text in an intellectual way, just as much as in an emotional way and in a spiritual way. And Mark thought these events needed to be recorded. And in fact, he recorded them in great detail. And as we've seen so far in Mark, usually Mark rushes through things, telling you the bare essentials. But here he's got a lot of detail. So we're going to take a moment now to delve deeper into these stories, to see if we can answer some of those questions and to try to understand what we need to learn from the things that happened in these encounters. There's no doubt that these stories do demonstrate the transforming power of Jesus. But Jesus was different to any other teacher or miracle worker. And he was different in ways that pointed people to the fact that he really is the Son of God. As we look at these events, I think the first thing we can see is that the transforming power of Jesus reaches through every barrier and crosses every boundary to bring people into relationship with him. As Mark recalls what happened, there are two people who quickly become the main focus for this passage. There's Jairus and there's the woman who was healed. And in many ways, these two individuals are the complete opposite to each other. obviously Jairus was a man and she was a woman. But at that time, women were not regarded as important as men. Often Jewish men didn't even speak to a woman, let alone stop to help them. Mark says that his name was Jairus. We've got no idea what the name of the woman is. Jairus, he tells us, was an official of the local synagogue. He was a man of respect, someone of importance within the community. But this woman, she wouldn't even have been allowed in the temple. Her condition would have made her unclean, and she would have become an outcast, treated in a way not dissimilar to the way that a leper was treated. And in verse 26, we heard the woman was very poor, having spent all her money on doctors, even though they hadn't helped her condition. But Jairus, he would have been much better off financially. Circumstantially, these two were different in almost every way. And yet, Jesus responded to both of them, not discriminating between either of them due to gender, wealth, status, or purity. His power reached through every barrier and every difference to touch them both. Now, maybe it was because of these differences that they both approached Jesus in a different way. Jairus, we heard, threw himself in front of Jesus' feet, begging for his help. That was a pretty significant act for an official of the synagogue. But the woman, she crept up behind Jesus and she silently reached out to touch him. And yet Jesus still responded to both of them. You see, the one thing that these two people had in common was their faith in Jesus. The differences between these two individuals remind us that in God's eyes, we are all equal. We are equally loved. We are equally valued. Our circumstances don't make us any more significant to Jesus. We're all important to him, but we also all need to have faith in him. And our circumstances can't change that for us. Doesn't matter where we were born, what our status is in society, how much we own or don't own. Each one of us needs to have a personal faith in Jesus. Now, we think about that a bit more later on, of what it means to have faith. But there's one more difference that I want to highlight between these two people. Having healed both the woman and the daughter of Jairus, Jesus' reaction to these two was also opposite. In verse 43, Mark tells us that Jesus gave strict orders to Jairus not to tell anyone what had happened. But in verse 30, Jesus stopped in the middle of the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" drawing full attention to the woman and to the fact she'd been healed. Now, the way that Jesus responded to those two situations also reinforces our need for faith and the fact that his power breaks through every barrier, valuing each one of us the same. When Jesus told Jairus and his family not to tell anyone, it was because the most important thing was their faith in him. Jairus didn't have faith in Jesus because Jesus had brought his daughter back to life. Jairus had faith in Jesus, even after his little girl had died. Now, of course, word was going to get round about Jairus' daughter. But the fact is, miracles are not an adequate basis for discipleship. For Jesus, the most important thing was their personal faith in him. And when Jesus stopped and asked the question, "Who touched my clothes?" he wasn't trying to embarrass the woman. Actually, it was quite the opposite. It was because he wanted her to know how much he cared about her. He wanted her to realize she was someone that was worth taking time out to be with. When the woman came forward and knelt at his feet, and she told him the whole story, we heard Jesus responded by saying, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Jesus wanted her to know that the synagogue official was no more important than she was. And her faith in him meant that she went from being a nameless, unclean woman to a daughter of Christ. That is the value that he gave to her. So as we see how the transforming power of Jesus reaches through every barrier, what difference does that make to our lives? Well, firstly, it reminds us that each one of us is valued by Jesus, regardless of who we are. God is never too busy to hear our pleas, and he can and he does respond in amazing ways, regardless of our circumstances. Secondly, everyone else is valued by Jesus in the same way that he values us. Jesus places the same value and sense of worth on their lives, and he expects us to do the same too. And thirdly, it challenges us to consider how we view our interruptions in life. How do we determine the worthiness of those people and things that disrupt our plans? Do we ever stop to consider that what we perceive as a disruption could actually be an intentional encounter set up by God? Henri Nouwen, in his book Reaching Out, wrote, "You know, my whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work." I think that's a thought worth reflecting on in the week ahead. The transforming power of Jesus reaches through every barrier, and as it does so, it brings healing and wholeness. Clearly, the impact that Jesus had on these individuals was incredible. But it's important to recognize that his power was so great that the impurities contained within these people didn't have an effect on Jesus. You see, purity was very important to the Jewish people at that time. And because of the woman's condition, she would have been deemed as unclean. In a similar way, the little girl, having died, would also be seen as unclean. And the Jewish laws stated that to touch something or someone that was unclean also made that individual unclean for a period of time. Now, maybe that's part of the reason that the woman crept up behind Jesus rather than approaching him directly. But even so, she deliberately pushed her way through the crowd. And she would have known that far from touching Jesus, actually she should be keeping her distance from him. When he asked who touched his clothes, Mark said that she trembled with fear as she knelt at Jesus' feet. But Jesus had not been made unclean by her touch. Instead, his power had reversed her impurity and healed her. In the same way, Mark tells us that when he got to Jairus' house, Jesus took the little girl by the hand and said, "Little girl, I tell you to get up." Again, instead of Jesus being made impure, his power brought her back to life. So the transforming power of Jesus transcends impurities, bringing healing and life to those who are deemed to be unclean. But Jesus did more than bring physical healing. He also brought wholeness and salvation. Mark tells us in verse 30 that after touching Jesus' cloak, at once she was healed of her trouble. In other words, the bleeding stopped. But when she told Jesus what had happened, he replied, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, that word peace was the word shalom, a word that means wholeness. The implications of her healing were that she would no longer be an outcast socially and she could become part of the community. But Jesus also brought her wholeness as he made a personal connection with her and brought her into a spiritual relationship with him as his daughter. In a similar way, when Jairus approached Jesus, he said to him, "Please come and place your hands on my daughter so that she will get well and live." Now, the words used for "get well" implied a physical healing, but the word Jairus used for "live" usually referred to salvation, a spiritual salvation. And so with both the woman and the little girl, Jesus did more than physically make them well. He brought wholeness and salvation to their lives. The transforming power of Jesus brings healing and wholeness. It transcends impurities and it reverses situations to bring life and salvation to people. The power that worked through Jesus then is still the same power that transforms lives today. It's the power that's at work in us, transforming us to be more like Jesus. And it's the power that's at work through us as we reach out to others and bring light into the darkness. And that transforming power still changes life today through faith. Now, it's important to note two things here. Firstly, both the woman and Jairus' daughter were healed because the woman and Jairus had faith in Jesus. But that statement does not work in reverse to say that if someone isn't healed, it must be because they lack faith. Let me explain a little bit more. Firstly, thinking of the woman who reached out and touched Jesus' cloak. Now, it wasn't that his cloak was magical. There was a common belief at the time that clothing carried the power of the person. So when she reached out to touch his cloak, it was Jesus that she trusted, not his coat. And it was her faith in him that enabled her to be healed. Similarly, when Jesus spoke to the little girl, he used simple words. "Little girl, get up." There was no magic formula, but it was Jairus' faith that enabled her to be brought back to life. The faith they had led to the healing that was received. It wasn't that they received faith because they'd been healed. The faith came first. And that faith was demonstrated in action as the woman fought her way through the crowds to get to Jesus. And as Jairus trusted Jesus and took him to his daughter, even after the messengers had come and said she'd died. In these two accounts, both of these people were healed by Jesus. But Jesus didn't heal everyone who was sick at the time, just as everyone doesn't get healed necessarily today. The question is, will we still have faith and trust in Jesus, even if things don't go the way that we hope? Have you ever put yourself in Jairus' shoes and wondered how he must have felt when those messengers came and told him that his daughter had died? What would you have done? Would you have been cross with Jesus for stopping to speak to the woman and delaying his journey? That delay meant that Jairus' faith was challenged even more. He believed that Jesus could definitely make someone better who was sick, and he just witnessed that happening. But could Jesus have power over death itself? True faith continues to trust in Jesus in the midst of hopelessness. And as we saw, Jairus did choose to ignore the messengers and to go on ahead with Jesus. As we reflect on these stories today, I think we're challenged to consider, do we have the faith to approach God and ask for things, even miracles, believing he does have the power to transform our lives and the power to transform the lives of others and to change situations? Yet at the same time, we also have to recognize that even though God always answers our prayer, it doesn't always mean we get what we ask for. Ultimately, our faith is in Jesus to conquer death, not just to make things better according to our will or needs or hopes. So do we also have the faith to keep trusting God, even if things don't turn out the way we'd like them to? Healing comes in a lot of different ways. Sometimes healing comes as peace and acceptance in the face of disappointment. Sometimes it's a greater awareness of the presence of God in a time of despair. More profoundly, to ask something of God is to begin to edge deeper into a greater relationship with Him. And as we do that, well, God's mind may not be changed, but our hearts and minds may be. We all know that pain and suffering exist in our world. And last week we thought about that when we considered what it means to live in a time when God's kingdom has come, but yet it hasn't come in full. But the fact that we do still experience pain and suffering doesn't lessen God's power to save, and it doesn't change who He is. Ultimately, the challenge for us, as Jairus discovered, is to continue to trust in who Jesus is and not in the circumstances that surround us. For me, I think one of the best examples of this declaration can be read in the book of Daniel by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were faced with the fiery furnace. You can read, they said, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if He does not, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Even if He does not, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. What challenging words they are for us today. The transforming power of Jesus does change lives through faith today. It reaches through every barrier, bringing healing and wholeness. But faith means trusting Jesus, even when things don't work out the way we'd like them to. So this morning, I want to encourage each one of you to persevere in your faith, to allow God to work in and through you as you deepen your relationship with Him and as He transforms you to make you more like Him. Let's take a moment of quiet and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Almighty God, we thank you that nothing is impossible for you. Thank you that you are at work in our world and in our lives in ways that we don't necessarily know or understand. Thank you that your love for each one of us is so great, it took Jesus to the cross. And thank you that you long to have a personal relationship with each one of us and for us to trust in you through the highs and lows, the joys and the pain of this life. Lord, I pray for each of us this morning. I pray for each of us that you will help us to know again how much you love us. And help us to reflect that love and that worth and value to those around us too. Give us wisdom in the week ahead when things don't happen as we planned and when situations or people appear to interrupt. Help us to take a moment to hear from you and know if this is something you're leading us to do, to minister to somebody in a particular way, to share your love or support them. And Lord, I pray for each of us today that you will help us to keep trusting in you and to strengthen our faith in you. Lord, there's not one of us here this morning that hasn't known pain and sadness and suffering. Lord, help us in the midst of our questions and doubts to keep on having faith in you. Help us to be close to you and speak to us, reassuring us that you are there, and that even though we may have questions now, those things will one day be answered. Lord, may you increase the faith of each one of us in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.